Hello and welcome to the Trade Paperbacks. Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
How you doing?
Little off day. It's a little off today. I'll just start out. We're getting the new studio ready, right, in the basement. Mm-hmm. And
work is underfoot.
Right. So my daughter is having a sleepover, which is very common. She's actually doing...
Doesn't sound like there's a lot of sleeping going on, though.
I agree. They're upstairs at the moment, making noise. And we're in the garage.
We are in the garage.
We're in the garage. It's not terribly cold. I mean, I do have a hoodie on, but it's not too bad, you know. It could be worse.
Could be worse.
You know, spring is in the air, right? So, things might be a little weird today and the following episode, just because there's another sleepover. So, we can't be in the basement because it's full of tents. Did you get to look at it?
I have not gotten
to look at it. You looked at it last sleepover.
That's right. Yeah.
Last season of the podcast, which is when we were first put in the garage, and then when we were in the kitchen, and we never left. We never left after.
We were in the kitchen.
So if we go by history, we'll constantly be in the garage from now on. And if the weather's nice, we can open the garage.
That's true.
Get some nature in the background.
Do it, like, you live on a cul-de-sac, so we'd like do it in the front yard at some point.
Right. But it might be quieter. I mean, I hear the dogs barking about something, and I don't think it's going to really be as effective. You know, it's not going to affect the show as
probably
much.
Probably not. Yeah.
You know?
I think this is a strange solution we've stumbled upon.
Yeah, yeah. And you came up with a solution to go over your house.
Yeah. I was like, why don't we go to my house?
There's no noise.
Pets. I don't have people who live there.
There's nothing. And we were like, why haven't we done that?
Yeah, we've been doing this for years.
Gets me out of the house. Jeez. All right, Die Hard Year One. I gave you Die Hard Year One from Boom Studios. I actually love
76.
Yeah, that's the year it takes place. I love Boom Studios.
Do you? Okay, why is that?
I don't know. They tend to do like I have the Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, I didn't know that was.
Yeah, they do like pop culture-y, like know, cool things you didn't really think of, and that's kind of why I like them. Because, I mean, they do...
So they're, like, adventurous.
Yeah, it's like, whenever you see a boom, you're like, okay, so it's not something I thought should or would be a comic.
But it might be decent.
It works, it works. All right, so what do you think? This is volume one, so there is a volume two. I don't have my score sheets or anything.
Oh, man. See, we're just...
I think I have them in the Dropbox. We can do, like, a digital.
We're going to have to... Yeah, we'll do a digital. I liked it pretty good. Some of it's a little far-fetched, but I enjoyed it pretty good.
A little far-fetched?
Yeah.
It's based in reality. What do you mean?
What do you mean it's based in reality?
There's nothing surreal about it.
No. There's nothing surreal about it, but it's like, I don't know, like this guy gets like all these, he gets like a couple of cops and a whole bunch of other people to just like go along with this terrorist attack sort of plot and literally just be like, well, I'll pay you good money and all that, you know. And he doesn't have the money, so like he doesn't have any earnest money to pay them up front. It's all just kind of contingency on this thing actually working. So, but other than that, it's actually pretty good. I enjoyed it. So,
all right. So, what do we normally talk about on the show? Just because I'm not in my element today, we talk about
the various things that occurred to us when we were reading it and stuff like that. But
I also talk about the history. This is an 8-issue comic book limited series. It's supposed to be considered a prequel to the film, but it takes place so far in the past that, you know, it's like...
It's like 12 years before Die Hard.
Yeah. The story is set in 1976 and follows John McClane as a rookie cop in the NYPD.
Yeah.
And I think their description is they try to compare it to Batman Begins and Casino Royale.
Yeah. Origin stories of, like, legendary figures. Yeah.
And considering this is the Summer of Sam in... you know, the time period. It is, it's a rough first year, I would imagine. You know. When you look at the artists involved, I don't really know. It's written by Howard Chaykin, who I guess would be best known for Cody Starbuck, which I've never read. Dominic Fortune, which I've never read. American Flag, which I've never read. But... I think it's a really good, like, he did a lot of stuff in the 70s, which I think helps. He did a lot of, like, pulp stuff, like Weird War Tales.
Yeah.
And Forbidden Tales of Dark Mansion. So he's done a lot of cool things. But this is probably one of the probably the most modern thing.
Yeah. So I just looked it up just to make sure, because I wasn't 100% sure when it started. But the 44 caliber killer stuff, the Summer of Sam stuff, David Berkowitz, that started like July 26, 1976. So this is like 20 days. And this takes place on July 4th.
Yeah, July 4th.
1976. So this is like 20 days before Summer of Sam starts.
Wow.
So
that's a really good...
I don't know, maybe like the next few issues, because we only read the first of the two graphic novels.
First volume, yeah.
And I wonder like if it picks up on that, because that could be really interesting. So I don't know. It may actually come up in the second graphic novel. So we might look at tracking that down, but I think you looked it up and it was... kind of expensive.
It's overpriced.
Yeah, because this first one...
Okay, so yeah.
It was $20.
It was $20, and I went to Half Price Books. Half yeah, price.
Half price.
So it should be $10.
Right.
Right? It was $5.
Right, so it's quarter price.
I paid $5, and it's hardback, and it's got this cool little bookmark thing.
Yeah, it's actually got a bookmark built in.
Yeah.
The ribbon
bookmark. I loved it. I love the ribbon bookmark. But anyway, and they want like $25 for volume two.
Yeah.
I'm not paying over... sticker price for, you know, for used right. or old or whatever. It's not like it's a collector edition or anything. It's just regular.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a regular hardcover.
But yeah.
Maybe they just didn't make that many of them or something.
I went to thriftbooks.com. This episode is sponsored by thriftbooks.com. And it's $24. And they don't have like... And that's good condition.
Yeah. Not even great or excellent. Or new.
It looks like I can get it for maybe 18, but it should not be.
We can probably find it for cheaper than that.
All right, we'll go to Half Price Books.
We'll figure that out.
But it's worth it to check it out, because if it does get into that time period, which it, I'm assuming it does, I think it'll be pretty interesting for that to be his first year on the force.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool actually. 112 pages. How many was this?
I think like 90.
Okay,
like that.
So a little
like
longer.
A little bit longer, yeah. Actually, we can find out. We can literally open it up.
Yeah, just open it.
We got to do a
We've
review.
Only been recording for 7 minutes here.
Yeah, so.
You got to think of something.
Oh, you know what? They don't have page numbers on here, so who knows?
That's about a 90.
It's about 3/8 of an inch thick.
It's about a 90.
Yeah, so I was actually pretty good. A lot of, you know, weird 70s stuff. They do a pretty good job of like making the New York look like the 70s, like the cars, people's clothes, some of the craziness of people, how they act. Although I suspect it's just kind of always like that in New York to an extent. So there's that. But I really enjoyed it. The only thing that gave me pause was like, well, wait a minute, like he's in this hostage situation where there's like this terrorist attack on a boat and. I mean, there's just like, it's like now we're retroactively adding in like success on terrorist attack things. It's like this would have come up in the news reports when they found out, you know, that it's John McClane who's stuck in Nakatomi Plaza. They'd have been like, oh yeah, because they were like, oh yeah, he's like a New York police detective.
But he might have given a lot of the credit to his, you know, his primary.
Yeah, I suppose that's
because that guy seems like.
But he literally goes from being a rookie to being a detective. He gets like promoted. Because of this thing.
Right.
So it's like, you know, that's kind of a big deal. Right. You don't go from rookie to detective overnight.
But he's out of state. This is before Google.
That's true.
And there's I'm going to give him a pass. Now, we will be talking briefly about the film adaptation that never came to be. So in 2017, they were casting for this film.
Yeah, they were going to do it. This originally came out
2009,
2010. Mm-hmm. But they were looking at doing a film.
And in 2018, they started writing the script with 20th Century Fox, and they pretty much got everybody on board.
Yeah.
Most notably, obviously with Bruce Willis and the Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who played Lucy Gennaro, which is his wife, ex-wife.
Lucy Gennaro?
Yeah.
Lucy Gennaro was his daughter.
Oh.
Holly Gennaro was his wife.
Holly Gennaro?
Yeah.
Was she going to come back?
I don't know.
Was Lucy in the...
She was in Live Free or Die Hard.
Oh, I try to forget that existed.
Yeah, in my opinion...
Because he has a son. What's the son's name?
The only real films. The other films after that...
What was the son's name?
Kind of parodies. John Jr.
Oh, yeah. John Jr. Gennaro?
John, well, no, John Jr. McClane.
So he got the last name.
Well, he kept the last name.
He had a choice to do that.
The women in John's life decided to not maintain
the last name. That'd be interesting. John Gennaro Jr.
John Gennaro Jr.
McClane. All right, so they got the daughter involved. And then, basically, in 2021, Die Hard was removed from the Fox plan when Disney acquired Fox.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that...
So, like, they acquired Fox, but they did not... Oh, they took it off of
they
Fox?
They were like, it's not one of ours. That's not a big deal. That's not something we're going to put in our imprint, called.
They didn't want to stick the Die Hard movies on the Disney streaming platform.
Like the imprint,
But they could totally do it like a modern cartoon, like, Disney version.
Oh, that'd be great. But they would have... Honestly, Disney's so off right now, it's not even a joke. But instead, it's not streaming.
What kind of bonehead you have to be, like, business-wise, to be like, I'm going to acquire this property, and I'm just going to let go of Die Hard. I mean, come on.
Right, but they talked about doing a...
branding issues, so...
They canceled the film project, but they thought about doing a TV show called McClane.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, would be okay. I mean, it won't really be the same. Because with TV shows, you don't have the budget, you don't have the... Everything. It's hard. You know, TV shows are much harder.
You have a much more constrained schedule. You have all kinds of problems.
For a TV show to work, it's got to be a 12-hour movie. You know, 12 episodes, hour long, if not 14 episodes at 45 minutes. And it's just like...
So what you end up having to do there is like you end up having to build in...
Fillers and...
All of these. You end up having to build in filler, but you also have to build in these cliffhangers to keep people coming back. And if it's going to end up in a format with commercials as well... You have to have cliffhangers for the commercials to get people to stay through a commercial. So, which is not so much a thing anymore, but it used to be a thing. So
CSI did it. They did it well. The first CSI.
Yeah.
But then it's just like, now commercials aren't even like part of it. Things get cut off right in the middle because it's built for streaming.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And if you have a premium subscription, you don't have to worry about commercials.
It's like, it'll be in the middle of conversations a lot of times. It's like, this doesn't work.
This ain't working. Ain't working. But that was pretty much scrapped as well. In March 2022, Bruce Willis retired from acting, and any production or any form of prequel, sequel involved him and is since out.
So. Well, but the weird thing is, like, did it need to involve him? Is he, like, a part owner of this property? Because, to my mind, it's like, what kind of technology are you going to be using to make Bruce Willis look like he's...
Young?
Well, I guess he's not that young now that I'm thinking about it, because in the book here, year one, they do imply that he had been to Vietnam and he had gotten a degree and then he became a police officer. So I guess he could be like 28 or something like that, or 30. But, you know, it's just like, you're not going to have Bruce Willis playing this character. Like, you just can't. The man's just too old. That's the way I feel. Even with anti-aging technology... I don't know. I would wonder about that. And that's part of the things where I was thinking, like, who would you recast this with?
Yeah.
Because that right there is more dangerous than doing the anti-aging thing. With the anti-aging thing, it's like, everybody's just going to be looking to see if they can see through it.
The whole time.
That's all they're going to look for.
Yeah.
So.
All right. I think we're at the halfway point here. So we will
give it a rating.
Give the ratings here. I did have a few... copies as bookmarks in future episode books. So I'm pretty excited.
Nice.
We are going to start out with dialogue.
Dialogue.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think I'll give it a 7.
Okay.
Like, it's pretty good dialogue. Excuse me. But there's like a little bit of like...
Did puberty happen? What happened?
Drinking a Sprite, you know.
Dialogue!
I really enjoyed the dialogue. no, we should leave that in there. Don't edit it out.
I'm not.
Okay. So, anyway, the dialogue is, like, pretty good, but there's, like, I don't know. It just wasn't outstanding. There were no lines that really stuck with me.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
Artwork.
Although, I did appreciate the yippee-ki-yay that they stuck in there.
Well, of course, that's bound to happen.
The artwork I actually liked pretty good. They did like a lot of dithering. I don't know if this art style is very common in comic books, but like there's a lot of, like, dithering and, like, I know I have complained about Photoshop for blurring and stuff in the past, but I felt like it was well done in here. The only concern I have, as I was reading, I was like, well, is this really a concern, or are they just trying to avoid having to pay royalties to Bruce Willis? Because none of the sketches really look like John McClane to me. They all look like some other random dude with hair. But, like, you know, that could be explained by this is a small comic book startup, and maybe it was just going to be expensive for them to draw it as Bruce Willis. And so they were like, well, we'll just draw a different guy.
Well, they gave, I mean, if you look at the special thanks, Bruce Willis.
He's right there, yeah.
He's right there. He was definitely, he had a finger on the project.
Wouldn't it be weird, though, if he, like, got royalties for the use of his image in here, but to me, it doesn't look like him? Because, like, like, it just doesn't look like him to me.
Really?
Yeah, not really, no. He also looks older than he should be. But, you know.
For being a rookie?
Yeah, for being a rookie. But then,
in his 20s?
You know, they said, you know, he might be as much as like 20 or 28 or 30. So maybe it's fine. But, like, to me, it just doesn't really look very much like him.
I think it does.
You think it does? Okay.
Yeah, but I used to watch Moonlighting.
Oh. Okay.
So I guess I'm more familiar with young Bruce Willis.
Young Bruce Willis? Okay. Yeah, I'm much more familiar with, like, Fifth Element era Bruce Willis. Fifth Element, Mercury Rising, that period.
But, I mean, there are points, I guess, different angles that you're like, eh, is that, you know, is that him?
Yeah.
All right, so what'd you give it for artwork?
I think I gave it an 8 for artwork.
Okay.
Because I actually really liked the dithering and the subtle blurring.
Fair enough.
For, like, lighting stuff, so.
Yeah, they use a lot of scratch shadows, too. It's not, you know, it's not, like, super polished, but it's also not super rough.
Well, it kind of has, like, it has a neo-noir feel, but, like, a summertime feel at the same time, which is really good. It was actually really well blended.
I prefer Die Hard in the summer.
Yeah.
Even though it's
generally
one of my favorite Christmas movies. But
yeah, mine too.
Not Gremlins is my number one.
Is it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I personally think that Die Hard with a Vengeance is probably, it might actually be the best movie in terms of structure.
Yeah, it's a great, it's great.
Yeah, the whole
thing.
It
really is. And I think it's not looked upon as the best.
No. No, clearly number one.
Number one. Yeah, but number two wasn't even a Die Hard film. They just...
They made it into a Die
Hard
film.
They made it a Die Hard film.
I was aware of that. And it makes me laugh. But I still love Die Hard too. There's so much about it I love.
When you light a plane up like that...
Yeah. When you're like jumping snowmobiles and stuff. Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's perfect.
Shooting blanks at the police chief in the precinct.
That's great. Plot story.
Porcelain guns.
Very complex, obviously, with all the corruption.
Actually fairly complex, but like not that many characters.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. But also, that. You only have like 4 issues, so too many characters have just weighed it down anyway. So I think with the plot and the story, I think I would have to give it like an 8.
Okay.
Myself. Because despite what I was
rattles.
Saying before.
Do you hear that? Everybody hear that?
Yeah.
That's rattling.
It's wonderful sound effects.
Jeez. I'll get a new pen for next time.
But like, despite what I said before about like some of the things being just seeming a little bit of a stretch, it only bothered me for like one page. And then I was like, whatever. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Entertainment.
Entertainment, I would give it a 9 because like I kind of went through the whole thing so fast and I was like, I cannot believe I read this whole thing in like 45 minutes. And I just didn't notice that time was passing. It really entertained me. So.
And lastly, cool factor.
I think I'd give it a 7 for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
All right, so let me do some quick maths.
Are you just agreeing with my numbers here?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's... let me see what the final score is.
Okay.
Because, I mean...
Probably like 8.2 or something like that. So
7.8.
Okay.
The only thing I would fight you on... I would probably... I think it cancels out. Most of the stuff cancels out. Because I'd bring the cool factor up to an 8.
But the entertainment factor down.
Down to an 8.
An
8. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So we're in the same. So 7.8 will be the official score, which is actually relatively high. Don't you think?
Yeah, that's pretty high. Yeah.
For us. You know, like Dark Claw beat it. But as far as, you know, these longer form things, this is actually a pretty high score.
Yeah, what a disappointment that they didn't continue with Dark Claw.
I know, just one off, just to tease us. All right, so to end, I'd like to go over some of the licenses that Boom has.
Okay.
Just because, you know, maybe I'll buy one. You know, I can ask for something for my birthday.
Just give people a taste of what's out there.
Or I can return some stuff and use store credit to get it.
There we go.
There's some light bulbs. I bought some light bulbs. I mean, I don't know. Where do you stand on returning stuff that, because of your actions, don't work? You know what I mean?
Okay, so
I got some calcium buildup on my waterproof light bulbs.
Yeah, it is a moral gray area, but so my general premise, my general understanding of this thing is, like, if I'm going to be providing this company with many good dollars of profit down the road anyway,
yeah,
I'm kind of like, just help me out here, you know?
Right. I mean, I probably could have taken better care of the outdoor lights.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But they did say waterproof.
Yeah.
And they are covered in calcium.
Okay, yeah, no, if that happens, that's clearly a warranty issue.
So I'm good.
Yeah.
No, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm not treading any lines.
No.
Okay, so if I return them.
Like it's not like it's been like 5 years or something, you know.
It's been 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know,
it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we'll use the credit of those light bulbs to buy a Boom comic. And we just need to figure out which one.
All right.
You ready?
We can go through it.
All right, so they have the adaptations of things, but I don't know if I want adaptations of things. I'd rather have like
something original.
Shoot offs of it, you know?
Okay.
Because they do have the Planet of the Apes adaptation,
but it's like just the movie stuck into a comic book. Yeah, I don't want that.
They have Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and to me, I've seen the films, and it's probably not going to add much more context.
Yeah, those are the newer films.
Yes, which I love.
Okay,
I do. But I just don't think it's going to... It's not original.
Yeah, I haven't seen those.
Where this came off is very original.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That was just a different story, completely. So...
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And then with Big Trouble in Little China, Escape from New York, those are pretty much adaptations.
Okay.
They did do RoboCop.
But as an adaptation?
Apparently.
Bummer.
Same with Jennifer's Body, which I've never seen. 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later.
I've seen both of those, man.
Right. One of the newer things, they do have Hellraiser.
Okay.
Which...
Wait, like a newer Hellraiser?
Yeah. It's not based off of it. They did do Fraggle Rock.
Okay.
Not sure about that.
That, yeah.
That would just be a load of nonsense.
Wait, those are two different things, right? It's not Hellraiser and Fraggle Rock in one nice crossover or anything like that.
Right.
Okay, cool.
They Boom acquired the license for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers in June of 2015, and that's original monthly comics. I am not a Power Rangers guy.
Me either.
But I think I just was the wrong age.
Yep.
They did adapt Philip K. Dick's...
I feel like when Power Rangers was out, those were the years when I was watching movies like Die Hard and Terminator and Alien. So.
Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, read the book. Is it even a book? It's not that big.
It's kind of like a long short story. I think they call them novellas now, but
it would be a novella.
A lot of the sci-fi authors used to.
But all of Philip K. Dick's stuff is so short.
Yeah,
and they turn it in like The Man of the High Castle is a great first season of a show.
Okay. Yeah, I heard it just went downhill from there.
And it's trash.
Yeah,
but I mean, like you're working with what 40 pages?
Yeah. But like, it's a great premise, and then it gives these writers a huge opportunity to like stick their own politics into things, and then try to turn it into, you know, something about the current world.
Oh, here might be one. In July 2018, they acquired graphic novel publishing for Firefly.
Oh,
you watched?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Seen a bunch of times. Yeah, I think Serenity is one of the best movies ever made.
Oh, it's great. So maybe Firefly.
We might check that out. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll have to make note.
They also did a bunch of Pixar stuff. They published several series for The Muppets.
Okay.
Based off The Muppets Show. I don't know how that works. Like, how do you have celebrity guests? That's a weird comic to me. How today, everybody? Yeah! It just doesn't work.
Well, it's not easy being green.
It looks like they've done things with Chip and Dale. They've done a lot of Disney stuff. They got Peanuts, graphic novel.
A graphic novel?
It's called Peanuts? Happiness is a Warm Blanket. Okay. Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I think the original was Happiness is a Warm Puppy.
Oh, okay.
But the original was obviously Happiness is a Warm Gun, but...
They did Rocko's Modern Life. They did a lot of stuff I don't care about, to be honest. Just Mega Princess. I don't even know what that is.
Mega Princess. It sounds very modern.
And then there's a few originals, but I think I'm leaning towards the Firefly.
Mega Princess, not Mecha Princess, right?
They probably have that too. But yeah, it just says Mega Princess. All right, so
Man,
I think...
just keeps going. No, yeah, I think our best bet with regard to this is Firefly. So, I don't know.
In our wheelhouse, right?
That Philip K. Dick one could be interesting, but we would have to look into it a little bit before we, you know, take the financial cost on.
Yeah.
So we are renovating a studio, after all.
Yeah, we're running that gets destroyed by just by the whisper of a sleepover.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, maybe we'll look into that, because it could be, well, they have Dune.
Dune is huge.
Yeah, there's the Mighty Morphin.
I read the first book. I have not seen the new movie. The new movies, I guess they're both out now. I heard they're good, and I should really see them.
All right, we'll look into this, and we'll let you know. All right, anything else? Would you want to read Volume 2? Yes?
Yeah, actually, yeah. I definitely would read Volume 2.
Okay.
Just to find out what happens. If only to find out if they do integrate David Berkowitz into the thing, because that would be like...
In the synopsis, it mentions that it's during that time period. Really? Why would you do that unless it comes up?
Unless you actually play with it, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're a brand new cop, New York City, 1976... This should be an integral part of your, you know, coming in July.
All right. Well, we'll find out. We'll look into that as well. And I'm not sure what next time is going to be a big one, because we're back on the DC train. And you know I love DC Comics, and we'll see what you thought of it.
Awesome.
But I don't want to give too much away.
Okay.
You know.